we are talking climate change policies. There's an election happening, I've heard. As much as I've tried to hide from it, it is happening. And you guys, you're not representing any organisation, either of you.
No.
You're part of a local group of people who are interested in climate issues. And you did, at Indies last week, did you have a session there where people could come and find out about kind of what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, that's right. So I guess we would just say that we're like a group of concerned citizens, really, that
right.
yeah, care about the climate and realise that we wanted to know more about what the parties had in terms of like climate policy, climate focused policies, and then wanted to share that with our community. So yeah, had a little get together at Indies last week, and
It was a nice little turnout as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were finding that Facebook memes weren't giving you enough info for your voting?
Yeah, not quite.
I think a lot of people kind of tend to shy away from engaging in communication on social media around really important big topics anyway, because it's a hostile environment.
And it's also hard to have an intelligent debate.
It is. Yeah, you can't really.
That's just the structure of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Alone.
And yeah, and so getting together in person gives people the opportunity who are really concerned about climate action to feel like, you know, they're to meet like-minded citizens who are also concerned about the direction that the election could go in for climate action.
Is there anything, one thing in particular that people are surprised to hear about in terms of the party's climate policies? Or is it all
climate
pretty much
policies or lack of climate
policies? Well, and that too, yeah. Like, I mean, that's not surprising that some parties won't really have serious climate policies.
Mm.
But was there anything surprising, or was it all pretty much as you'd expect?
Until
you get into the details.
Yeah, I think it is pretty much what you would expect. Like, yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, Te Pāti Māori and Green Party have by far the best policies on climate. I think one thing I was surprised actually was reading about how ACT, I think I just kind of expected that most major political parties would at least try and look like they're wanting to do something about climate. But yeah, I was reading about how ACT have kind of actually committed to scrapping the Zero Carbon Act if they get in, which is pretty alarming.
Yeah, so it's a regulation. They don't like regulations, and that's got regulations in it. So.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's. All right, so let's start. Should we start there?
Yeah, sure.
Is literally that's what it says? They're going to scrap the existing regulations because they don't like red tape, basically.
Yeah, they also. So it, from the sort of research that we looked at, it says for 3 decades of its existence, ACT first denied climate change and then has opposed every serious policy. So yeah, I think I kind of imagined maybe that. Yeah, they were. It sounds like they've come from a climate denying background, which, yeah, I suppose I just live in a different world where I kind of imagine that people believe that it's real and are wanting to do something, even if they have different ways of wanting to do something about it.
Yeah, well, I think as a smaller party, that they can take a relatively
more extreme.
They don't have to do that broad reach.
Yeah,
to a broad
they're not
amount
trying
of people.
To. Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess the concern is that if we have a coalition government, that National would then be adopting a lot of what ACT wants to do.
Mm.
Yeah,
and to be fair, like National really aren't offering much in the way of policies for climate change anyway.
So they're not as far away in terms of wanting to deregulate everything?
They're talking about things like setting up more charging stations around the country.
For cars.
But EVs, currently, for EVs. And currently what funds the EV charging stations is the clean car rebate.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're scrapping that. Which the clean car rebate meant that there's a lot more EVs being brought into the country. And if that gets scrapped, there's going to be less EVs brought into the country. So, you know, what's the point of setting up those charging stations?
Well, they won't have to spend much money on it, will they?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so do they have a policy that they call a climate policy?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
What they have said is that they've talked about, and I mean, if you think about, back to when, like, the flooding and the cyclone was happening, National was very much on the adaptation kind of argument side of things.
Adaptation as opposed to mitigation.
Yeah, basically. And so I think they, basically were like, oh, it's too late, like, we need to focus on adaptation because, they think of that New Zealand doesn't need to do. It's too late, basically.
Okay, so let's talk about that it's too late thing, because there's a tendency to be very binary about climate change, like it's arrived or it's going to happen or we have to do something by a certain date. But
yeah.
The temperature can just keep going up, can't it? Like it's not...
Yeah,
it's not a switch.
Totally.
It's not a switch, right? We've got to stop talking about it like it's a switch.
Sea temperatures are actually like the rising sea temperature is insane at the moment. Like they're seeing deep water fish coming to the surface like they've never seen them before. You know, so commercial fishermen are actually catching deep water fish that usually they wouldn't see.
They've never seen before.
That's how hot the waters, the ocean's getting.
But it can continue to get worse. I think that's the point. We need to talk about that idea that it's arrived and we can't do anything about it and we just have to adapt.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things...
Because I just don't think that's accurate. It's not scientifically accurate, is it?
No.
To assume it's...
Yeah, that it will reach a point. I mean, it will reach a point where it's uninhabitable to live on.
Yeah, that's why the term climate warming isn't really appropriate, and we use the term climate change, because if you think of it like a canoe that's rocking back and forth as opposed to... You know, it's just getting hotter.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I think one of the things that makes me feel hopeful is the fact that a lot of the things that would be good for adaptation would also be good for mitigation. So
there's a nice overlap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, even just like changing like flood zones around like rivers and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And doing like, more tree planting. Like a lot of the things that are going to make us more resilient are actually good for the climate as well.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't think it has to be a either or. It kind of needs to be a yes and, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, and it's also better for production, like food production, right? If we're doing these things, because if we just simply do nothing, we're going to... we already see a lot of issues around rising temperatures and then flooding affecting our food crops, our fresh food crops. So, you know, like, I think times are tough now.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's move on to New Zealand First, who are an unusual party in that they're very old school and they're almost socialist, a right-wing socialist party. No one else describes it like that, probably just me, but they want to go back to pre-neoliberal times. So what is their policy?
To be honest, I didn't do heaps of research on New Zealand First, but we do have, so we've got a lot of our information from a website which... you can look up, which has a list of all of the parties. It's called Vote for the Climate New Zealand.
Yeah.
And that's been quite helpful. So it's got like little synopsises of the different political parties. So what it says for New Zealand First is that they have weak climate policies and in the past have opposed climate initiatives. But at the same time, they also, have been part of a Labour-led government and coalition. And during those times... supported Labour to do climate initiatives that were good for the climate.
Okay.
So it's like, to me, I kind of imagine that they, depending who they're in government with.
Yeah.
And I'm also not, yeah.
They're another small party that can stake out extreme positions in some areas and it doesn't matter because they don't get that big a vote. So. Yeah.
And they have had like environmentally friendly policies before.
I feel like... it might be one of those issues that they just don't worry too much about. If they're in negotiation with whoever, there might be other things that are more important to them.
They don't think about it too much. They just go along with the... Yeah,
okay. All right, that's probably a fair summary. All right, I guess Labour is next on our list.
Yeah, Labour, so they got a good rating, but I wouldn't say a great rating from the Vote for the Climate folks who have put this all together.
Okay, so question, is good enough?
Yeah, that is the question.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's better than some others, so...
Yeah,
but.
For sure. I mean, they were the ones that put the ban on oil and gas exploration, which was a massive thing to do, but at the same time, they haven't done nearly enough that they could be doing in terms of agriculture emissions, which is New Zealand's biggest climate polluter.
Yeah.
They have, did the ban on oil and gas, and they do have, introduce a Zero Carbon Act, but they would need to do a lot of strengthening on that to actually make an impact, basically.
Okay.
And at the moment, they haven't sort of said anything about wanting to do that.
All right. Okay. We know them to be a party of incrementalism, like baby steps on everything, regardless of whether you need big steps. The only time they did anything dramatic was after the terrorism in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And they brought in the gun laws in almost a state of panic. They thought they had to get it, wanted to rush it through before anyone changed their mind in the country. So,
yeah, yeah. That's right.
Incrementalism.
Yep. Yeah. I think one of the things I've noticed from my background as like an environmental campaigning kind of stuff is that when we've had a national-led government, it's felt like a bit of a brick wall to any kind of campaigning, as in they are just like, no, we're not going to look at that. Whereas I've noticed Labor was much easier to like set up meetings with their MPs to...
Right, they're sympathetic.
They're open to being... I feel like they could be pushed by the public, for example, to take stronger action on climate issues if the public was really like, this is what we want, and gave them a strong mandate to do that.
Okay. All right, let's look at Greens and Te Pāti Māori. Which one has the best out of the two? Because I'm quite interested to know. Can you say?
They're
even?
Really, really similar. Like, Te Pāti Māori has some pretty strong policies. They have said that they would rapidly phase out onshore oil and gas permits, which is cool. And I also know they've got a plan of phasing out synthetic fertilizer, which is kind of the driving force behind like our intensive dairying, which is causing big methane emissions in Aotearoa. So they have a really strong policy on that.
So just the production of that in itself is an issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So right. I don't know if many people know that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like if you look at like the inputs behind what upholds the dairy industry as it currently is, which at the moment is the biggest amount of our dairy of our climate emissions. That is underpinned by synthetic fertilizer. Without that, we wouldn't be able to grow grass to the rate that we would need to sustain the amount of cows that we have. So it's like, alongside the fact that, synthetic fertilizer washes into rivers, and that's how we get so much of our rivers are so choked with weeds. Yeah, and it's also releasing
some of that
methane.
The number of waterways that aren't safe to swim in has gone up as well. They've just announced, like, in the last couple of days.
Just in our region or in the country?
No, in the country.
I know our region's pretty bad for that. So is that one of those policies that could, if they got their hands on the levers of power, they would face a heck of a lot of opposition?
It could
potentially
a lot of
be one of the ones that they give up on in favour of trying to do something productive somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
this is pure speculation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do... there would be a lot of opposition because that's something that organisations have, like Greenpeace, have been pushing for years, but have met, really strong opposition from the dairy industry and from Dairy NZ. And,
too much income is dependent on it for them to not fight, I guess.
Yep. And the Greens have, like, similar policies, but when they have... and they were part of the Zero Carbon Act. But still, James Shaw was the minister that didn't get agriculture included in the emissions trading scheme. So, I mean, I feel like the Greens have really great policies, but are they going to actually stand by them and make sure that they...
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're not on the inside, so I always wonder whether it's just like it would have been. Was it because he didn't push hard enough, or is it if he'd pushed really hard, they just would have ignored him completely? Like, does he have to appear reasonable in their eyes to achieve what he has achieved? And actually, has he done really well given the circumstances, or is he just too soft? Like,
it's a great question. I've definitely heard different perspectives from different people about it,
It is quite hard to work within a governing body, whether you're on a committee or in a government.
I guess the thing to say that people need to understand a little bit about how politics works, in the sense that we can't just like push James out there and say go and do it. Like, if he goes in there and everyone knows there's a huge push from citizens groups, just the population is really supporting what he's doing. He goes in with more power.
Totally.
And he can achieve more. Like, I trust that he's a skilled negotiator. But he might need us to be really vocal when he's going in.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good point, and that's something I just wish that everyone understood.
Yeah, what I'm really struggling with is the amount of people I talk to who are actually really passionate about climate action themselves, who are just saying, oh, I'm not going to bother voting this election. And that's inaction, you know, like just in itself, not voting is just complete inaction.
Voting's pretty easy to do.
It's so easy to do.
It's not that hard. And it's going to be really easy for us because you and I, Jasmine, work in the town hall, so we'll just be able to walk around the corner and vote.
That's right.
In a few weeks.
But I mean, I can tell you that also the community house has been set up so that they can help you enroll to vote.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they announced it yesterday.
Okay, I have a chat with Mike about that and send people along. Yeah. Do you guys know about any of the minor parties?
Like Top and...
Yeah.
They haven't come up. A lot of the different kind of websites that have been rating parties haven't included them. And I wonder if it's just because they're too small. But it's possible that they do get over the threshold. I think Top do have some good climate policies, but
I'd expect them to have something reasonably well thought through.
Yeah, they do. I just don't know much about it, unfortunately.
All right. So, is there anything else we need to say about Te Pāti Māori and Green are pretty similar?
Yeah. I think they're very similar, and I think they're both parties that have. So one of the other websites that you can look up that has it's kind of got like an election scorecard. And that has rated parties on things like climate policy, but also other things like housing and te tiriti justice, or like honouring te tiriti, taxes. It's got a sort of plethora of different things that it's looking at, and Te Pāti Māori and Greens have sort of come out on top for both of those in terms of basically like people's well-being and environmental well-being.
And there's also another website that you can go to. It's called I'm just looking up my notes. It's called so the website is policy.nz /2023.
Yeah,
I think you can just like Google policy.nz, and that is giving you a range of questions across the board that they ask you, and they link it back to the party policies that it relates that question to.
So the stuff you can actually say what you care about.
Well, every question across the board, so you can answer like you can choose which out of I think it's between 0 to 10, where you rate like what's more important to you for that question. But you can also, it shows you what the party policies are, and then it gives you a scorecard from that on who you should vote for based on your answers.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So that's quite a useful one. So that's policy.nz/2023.
Okay. And now I'm looking at the page you've got there, Holly.
It's quite cool. So this isn't actually that particular website. This is election scorecard. If you look at 350.org's website, I think they came up with it.
So this is another climate perspective.
Yeah, it says how to vote with the climate and people's wellbeing in mind. It says we asked major political parties whether they supported 36 key policy interventions needed to respond to the social and environmental crises facing Aotearoa. And what's interesting is that, Green and Māori both have an A rating, which, I mean, isn't too surprising. National and ACT both have F ratings. Labour actually has a D.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that sounds like that. What they're like. We want to do something, but we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
disappointing.
Which is not... Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I've been around a long time now, and they've been like that for a long time.
Yeah, right, okay.
But maybe National and ACT both have Fs.
Yeah, at least you know where you stand with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not promising false hope.
Yeah. No, no, exactly.
Are there any, just one last question before we go, are there any kind of new policies coming from Greens or Te Pāti Māori that are kind of new, that's something different, or is it just they continue with the same stuff that they've been campaigning on for quite a long time now?
In terms of climate, I think it's pretty similar. I do think that I think Greens sound like, just from interviews and stuff recently, like they've stepped up their game in terms of like, we're not going to compromise on climate anymore. yeah. which I think maybe is because of what happened with the Zero Carbon Act. I'm not sure. And I don't know heaps about other policies about broader things. I mean, the Greens have that dental.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking in terms of dealing with climate change, if there's anything new out there that we haven't really heard
of. I haven't seen anything that's blown my mind.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's still doing more than the major parties.
Yeah.
I think if Greens and Te Pāti Māori actually did create the change that they've got with the policies that they've currently got, there would be really big change, like that phasing out synthetic fertiliser, the strengthening of like the Zero Carbon Act, fully banning onshore oil and gas permits as well. Some of their policies are really good. I guess the question is can they do that?
And I think it's actually quite sad that they're still harping on about the same issues, like that nothing has changed.
I think that's how I was feeling too. That's the issue. Yeah.
Like they're still, so it's a shame that they haven't been able to come up with new ideas because of the fact that these issues, these problems we're facing still haven't been addressed.
Yeah.
And they are the priority.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, look, thank you for coming in. We knew it would be a little depressing. But it's not depressing, but
get out and vote, people.
Yeah, we need you.
Because there's a lot of organisations that will really struggle under a government that isn't climate action focused. You think about just local organisations in Whangaroa, Extreme Zero Waste and WEC and different groups like Karioi Project and... They won't have the same level of support to be doing the work that's been done in the community. And across the nation, a lot of those organisations who actually do the grassroots, environmental, community-focused work will struggle under a government that isn't climate action-focused.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
we've been talking to Holly and Jasmine, just representing a local group of people who are concerned about the climate change and the environment. And not representing any specific organisation. We just want to be clear.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for your time.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to the Karioi Project.